Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017.
It's a try!
Oh! Run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M Network. For Bryden's lawyers, protecting your future. Peter Sterling, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, and James Hooper.
Oh, you gotta love your rugby league.
Triple M rocks the footy.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
Thanks for company on this Saturday afternoon. Plenty to come in the hour we have to share with you, including going into the New South Wales Blues camp with Aaron Woods. He joins us in 25 minutes' time with all the latest. We'll hear about the injury concerns inside the camp and how they're feeling ahead of Wednesday's State of Origin 3, the decider. Paul Gallen is with us. Gal, I know that you've been around. You were at Tamworth during the week. I know you boys are very, very busy. Wendell's story last night. Where were you last night, Wendell Taylor?
Toowoomba.
Toowoomba.
I was down Shell Harbour down your way yesterday. I had a lunch with Flanner.
Oh,
Shell
nice.
Harbour Sharks lunch. Yeah. It was a pretty good lunch too, let me tell you. A footy lunch.
Don't you love a bye week?
Well, actually, when I got there and saw some of the crowd and some of the boys were having a good time, I actually felt like having a drink with them, but I had to drive home.
That's, man, when I came back, I played down there, and there's a really good, I think Luke Bailey's from there, Matt Cooper, all those sort of guys from down that region.
And you got caught up in the Brisbane fog at the airport last night.
Mate, don't start me. I'm sick. So last night, my function finished the lunch, and it was 12 till 4, and then so I stayed there and just mingled with the clientele. Mm-hmm. And then they got me a car at 6 o'clock. Ready to go to the airport, ready to come home. And sure enough, as I walk in the airport, sorry, Mr. Saylor, your flight's been delayed till 9 o'clock. So that's top. Someone could have rung me. It's half an hour away virtually where the airport is.
So that was for real, the fog?
The fog was
my flight got delayed this morning from the Gold Coast, and they used that fog excuse. I thought they must have...
fog excuse?
Yeah.
Oh, well, it was 10:30 in the morning.
Yeah, no, but it's been...
Where's their fog?
It's been pretty bad, and so, especially around Toowoomba and that, so then I'm there ready to go get a taxi again. I'll go back to the pub. Fitzy's pub, and then sure enough, I get a call. Sorry, Mr. Saylor, you can't go out until the morning. So, man, it was so frustrating. But anyway, and I'm back on the plane in another couple of hours. I'm going to Tamworth to do a mental health talk tonight.
Just a lot of people calling you Mr. Saylor, though. That's a very good time, though, for this.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up.
The Triple M NRL stock market.
All right, you know how this works. I'm going to throw a few topics at you. You have to either buy, sell, or hold the stock. I'm going to start with JT. Now, Paul Gallen, you already mentioned the notion of one of the greatest players to ever lace on a boot. This is supposed to be all over for him, Origin. I don't know if there's some kind of special presentation on Wednesday for the great man, but he has mentioned that he might make a comeback if he were to be asked. So, Jonathan Thurston, the shock comeback to State of Origin 2018. You buying, you selling, or you holding?
So, in other words, do I think he'll do it?
Mm.
No, I'm going to say hold.
You hold?
No, I'm going to say no, he won't. I don't think his club will want him to, and I'm going to say sell. Yeah,
sell?
He won't.
Sell. All right. Wendell Saylor?
Yeah, look, I'm selling. I mean, Jonathan Thurston doesn't need to. He's done everything in the game. Paul Green, he won't be overly happy if Thurston decides that he wants to play again. And I just think the way, hopefully Queensland win this next game, and hopefully it's the right fairy tale for that Queensland team and him.
There's a bit of talk Paul Green might blow the stock market up, Tony. JT does actually make a comeback next year. So, no, I'm definitely I'm selling.
You're selling on that as well? Okay, then. What about the play of the ball? We talked about it a bit earlier. I don't get what's going on with the play of the ball. Everybody was standing which way in last night's games, especially George Burgess. Is it too grey, the area at the moment? Or are there too many panels, too few? Are you what about the play of the ball? Are you buying, selling, or holding, Wendell Saylor?
Yeah, I'm selling. It's rubbish at the moment. I think for the players of this level and this skill, I think we've got to get better at it. And last night was a bad look for our game.
What do you think?
Yeah, I'm selling too. When you got Blake standing sideways, facing either sideline like Burgess was last night, that's a bad look.
Yeah, I think I'll hold. I think you take the Burgess one out of it. Is it really that bigger issue? I don't think so. So
yeah, I think it is.
The Burgess one was ordinary. We know that should have been a penalty to the opposition. It wasn't, but other than that, I think there's bigger things to worry about.
Okay. What about this State of Origin gaming? It's crucial to everybody in both of those states, to the individual players. To the coaches, how crucial is it? If either Kevy or Laurie, as we know, one of them will be losing. Do they remain that losing coach? Do they remain the coach of their state next season?
Wendell?
Yes, I'm holding. I think they both should. I think they're both doing a wonderful job for the game. The players that they want them to, so the New South Wales, I see they came out and they want Laurie there for another couple of years. Some of the Queensland boys, you know, I was in the dressing room after the game too, and there's a real sort of love for Kevy, and mate, you know, he was on our show today. So yeah, I'm holding for both those coaches.
I'm buying Loz and I'm buying Kevy as well, yeah. Tone, because I think New South Wales will win the series in a very close game on Wednesday night. But I think that that doesn't mean that Kevy's going to get the bullet. There was Kev would have called it hogwash. There was a story that went around that Wayne Bennett was going to take over if Kevy didn't win this series. That's false. It's wrong. Kevy will stay. He'll be the coach there. And I think he'll keep being the coach of Queensland for a fair while.
Yeah, I'll buy. I think New South Wales will win also. And look, Kevy Walters' first series last year, he won. They're not going to sack him after one loss. And Laurie Daly is, you know, one of the greatest Origin players ever. And as I said, I think New South Wales will win. And I think it'll be Laurie's decision whether he wants to stay or not.
Okay. And finally, on this stock market, it's been on for the past 4 weeks. Wendell's moustache. You look at that. It's plateaued, hasn't it, really?
I thought it looked like it had a bit more.
I actually went to the barber in Brisbane and I got it like trimmed up.
Did you pay for it?
No, don't be silly. It's a mate of mine, Simon Bowe. He's got a barber shop there. Hey, Simon, great to see you up there last week, mate.
We should ask the missus. What's the missus thing?
Yeah.
Mate, the missus, there's been no action in the house since I've had the mate. She's not overly happy and she said, until I get rid of it, there's going to be nothing.
All bets are off.
Yeah, nothing happening. But you know what I said to her? Like, don't try and play that mind game with me. I don't need that, mate.
She's winning. Nothing's been happening. So she's up. There's no mind game.
Big dog doesn't always need to eat, mate.
You need to be playing a physical game,
I'm
not a mind
it.
Game.
I'm selling
sell!
It.
Sell! We're all selling.
Yeah, you're just dirty about game two, mate. That's what you're
doing. No, I won't be dirty on Wednesday night when they win the series.
Are you calling with us?
No, I'm not going to stay and watch with me Littlefield. It'll be the first game I've been able to watch on TV for a long, long time. So watching my little man will be good.
That is good.
Hopefully New South Wales will just stand around when they're lifting the shield this time. You know?
Hold the thought. Saturday Triple M NRL for Brighton's lawyers. Paul Gallen, Tony Squires, James Hooper, Wendell Saylor with you. All right, let's have a little look at what is going on with the games to be played this afternoon, this evening. For Mungle Boots, do you have any lineup news? I know we're a little bit early for the Panthers Sea Eagle, 5:30 kickoff at Pepper Stadium, James Hooper.
Yeah, Panthers will be 1-17, Tone, for Mungle Boots. So big game for them, isn't it? Manly absolutely flying at the moment. And Penrith, yeah, they've just been a little bit up and down, a little bit erratic. So, they'll definitely be 1-17. I think the Seagulls will be 1-17 as well. Big game for Daly Cherry Evans. See how he bounces back after that disappointment of missing out on the Maroons. And then later on, we'll see Melbourne and Parramatta.
All right, the lineups thanks to Mungrel Boots. Now, as we head into this for Iveco Trucks, a preview. That's very true. Daly Cherry Evans, he's done everything that could have been asked for him in terms of getting to a State of Origin call-up. That didn't happen. Can he still have the kind of the guts to just keep pushing through and play to the standard he has been?
No, well, he's got to. That's what being a first grade footballer is all about, going out and performing to your potential every single week. So I don't think it's any issue that he hasn't made the team. Look, I thought he would have been picked. I think for me, it's a bit strange that they've gone with Ben Hunt and not him, considering that he played that utility role for a number of years when they have won. So it was a strange decision for me. But I think for him going out, I don't think he's got anything to prove. I don't think he has to go out there and get man of the match. I think he's just got to go out there and perform the way he has. And hopefully for his sake, get Manly the win. And, I mean, he's playing against a side that has just been so up and down all year. That premiership favourites at the start of the year. Good players all over the park. And for some reason, they just can't get it done. I don't know what's going on out there at Penrith. But, they're in a bit of a hole at the moment.
Yeah, and as we said earlier, Anthony Griffin, the coach, said that anybody who tipped the Panthers to win this year's premiership have got no idea about football.
Well, you look at their roster. Roster. Yeah. Like, how have they got no idea? Honestly, you look at that team and you think, what's going on? How are they where they are?
And they're playing great footy at the back end of last year.
Yeah, well, I thought they'd do. I still think they can make a run. I think that's what they did. Like, they started really slow last year, then they made a run and obviously finished right up the ladder. So I still think they've got the potential to do that. But whether they're going to or not's another thing, and it's got to start soon for them, you know what I mean, today.
And indeed, because the Seagulls is a team that they're really above where most of us had pitched them at the beginning of the year, Del.
Yes, they're playing really well as a team. As you said, like Cherry's leading the charge here, but Martin Taupau, he's playing a bit more consistent football. Dylan Walker, I think, has been fabulous. I know he hasn't been in Origin talks really because they've got their centres, but, you know, he's been great, and you've got, you know, They're just starting to come together, and Trent Barrett's done a wonderful job too, because being a coach of that club, brings pressure, and obviously Bob Fulton's got a bit of pull there too. So they're doing the right things, and I like the way they're playing their football.
I'll tell you what, Wendell, I reckon Blake Green's recruitment has been really unsung, but it has been the turning point for the Seagulls. What he learned out of that Melbourne Storm system and the benefits of playing with the likes of Cameron Smith and Cooper Cronk on a regular basis, the football brain that he's brought to Manly and the pressure that he's taken off Daly Cherry Evans as the primary playmaker. Cherry Evans' game has gone to the next level, and Green, well, he's the glue who just holds the side.
Yeah, he's been a good foil for him, he has.
Manly in my top 8. I don't know where everyone's so surprised where they're at. I think they've got I'm not going to say a great roster like Suns, but they've got a very good roster. I mean, you look at the two Trbojevic brothers, Martin Tapau, as you said,
Kuluate, mate,
Walker. They've got a really good roster. So I'm not surprised they are. I'm maybe surprised they're in the top 4, but I was certainly not surprised at all that they're up in that top 8. I think they're a quality side, and Trent Barrett has proven he's a good coach. He's put that all together, which you need at the end of the day. But as far as their talent goes, I think there's plenty of it.
I'll tell you what makes it even more impressive as well, Tone. No Brett Stewart and no Steve Mattawa. That's over $1 million worth of their salary cap that's been on the sidelines the entire time, and they're still having to fork that out. So
have they found Steve Mattawa yet? Remember they were looking for Steve Mattawa a couple of weeks ago? Remember about that? They were trying to look for Steve Mattawa about, I think there was a...
I hope you've got the answer to this. It's going somewhere. Steve, give us a call, 1-333-53 if nobody's found you.
No, they were talking about, Brent Reed was talking about they had to find Steve Mattawa because they're trying to get that dispensation for that injury.
Right, okay.
So, yeah. Didn't you hear that? Did you not listen to our Thursday shows?
No, I'm sorry, but I'm glad you explained it so well.
Thank you.
Are they going to? Trent Barrett has said that he had a smile on his face when he was asked about it, and said that the players are kind of laughing at it, but they are in on the front pages suddenly again with all these allegations of various, not the match fixing so much as the salary cap issues. Well, is that something that would be a concern to them?
Oh, look, no, I think if you look at the history of the Manly Seagulls, there's always some sort of division going on behind the scenes, whether it's at board level or whether it's those allegations from last year or whatever it is. Like, they're well conditioned to dealing with controversy, but I don't think there's too much going to come of that, Tone. It obviously went up in flames earlier in the week.
Yeah.
But the issue is going to be actually being able to prove what certain people are saying behind the scenes.
You know what gets me? Why don't they come out and report it, make the big hoo-ha when they've got people in handcuffs in there? It's like the Asada thing. It's the worst day, and look what happened out of that. Two teams that were given them. I mean, why don't they have these blokes? Do you know the answer to that?
Why don't they have them in handcuffs?
Why don't they have them done? Have the situation done and go through it all, and rather than causing all this, like, this is damaging to the game.
Yeah, you're right.
Not only to their club, but to the game. Like, why don't they do the process, go through it all? When they've got the people booked, they've found out who they are, arrest them, and I think if they do that, that's a much bigger deterrent than coming out and causing this big hoo-ha for nothing. And then, as you said, if nothing comes of it, all it's done is damage the game, damage the brand of the game, and damage their club. But yet, if you've got blokes in handcuffs, they've been found guilty of this, I think that's a much bigger deterrent for players to do that in the future.
What happens is they get hauled in before the Crime Commission, and certain blokes get asked questions. These people are associated with the game. They never played the game, but they are well-known identities within and around rugby league, and they get hauled in and they tell the Crime Commission stories, and then that then gets fed out to the police, and then that then in turn gets fed out to the media. And that's how it all becomes a bonfire.
That can't be evidence, though, can it?
Well, you have to tell the truth when you're in there, because if you don't, and then it's found that you lied, you can end up in jail. So these blokes go in and they tell the truth, but the thing is, they're not allowed to use it, but they can pass it on to other law enforcement. It gets passed on to the police, and then that's how it gets out into the public domain. But you're right, it's very detrimental and damaging to the game. And if nothing comes of it, then...
And it's only information. It's not evidence. They've got to go and find evidence. It's out there, it's ruined a man. Like, Manly, I don't think it'll affect them too much, because you're right, the core group of players they've had over that time, they've had issues, were very tight and very resilient to it. This is a different group of players. It's not ideal for them. But I don't think it'll affect them too much. But you know, it's just something else they've got to deal with when they shouldn't have to.
Yeah, and then, mate, as a football, you know yourself, girl, mate, you can only control what you do on the football field, and that's what they're best at, you know. And they won't worry about that at the moment.
We look when they won those premierships.
Of course.
They won that comp in 2011, and they had a divided board,
seed mentality. Yeah.
So they certainly are well conditioned, Tone, to handling this sort of adversity.
Well, they've had those issues this season as well in terms of board level. But was this at the investigation that had been ongoing? So it's not a new investigation, it's just information that has come from that.
It's a spin-off from that previous investigation around the match fixing allegations. Yeah,
right. Like a show about Kramer from Seinfeld. That kind of
thing. You're back on your game now, Tone.
I'm back, baby.
I've helped you.
I'm back. Saturday Triple M NRL for Brighton's Lawyers. Paul Gallen joining us this hour. Now, remember, making an NRL multi is easy with the all-new YouBet Multi Builder. Download the YouBet app today, customised by sport, time and practice. But remember, gamble responsibly. We're now joined by Gerard Daffy. G'day, mate.
Hello, Tony.
This game, Panthers. Now I know the punters loved them early this year, and we've read the story from today of Anthony Griffin saying that if you did back them as premiers for this year, you got no idea about footy. Well, a lot of people had no idea about footy, Daff.
Interesting comments because they were favourites for 1 week before the season got underway, but when round one did start, Tony, they were $7.50 second favourites. So there's plenty of people out there thought they could get the job done. They're $26 down. I don't think I could take it.
$26 now?
Yeah.
Okay. And how are they in terms of this game this evening?
Well, it's quite a good betting game, this one, given I suppose it's all on the line for them. And, of course, Manly running into some pretty decent form. There's not much in the betting. Penrith are $1.88 and Manly at $1.95. So pretty close. However, today, most of what we've seen has been for Manly.
What about the other game tonight, Daff, the Storm and the Eels? Do many punters give Melbourne a chance of causing a bit of an upset there without their origin players?
Well, they do, heaps, and I suppose they've got form in that area, haven't they? They were $2.50 yesterday. They're into $2.30 today, which is a fairly significant move in a big betting game. Parramatta out to $1.65. So maybe they might get the job done. Punters happy to stick with them anyway.
All right, what about the big one Wednesday, the origin?
Been no move, Tony, for 5 days now since the sides were announced. Queensland still the outsiders at $2.10. New South Wales $1.77. I think come Tuesday or Wednesday, the gap might close a bit. Queensland supporters cashed up at the moment.
Oh, New South Wales should be shorter than that, the way they smashed them
around. Oh, please. That's embarrassing.
Daff,
we talked about this last week. How are Queensland
$2.10?
Yeah. I guess there'll be money for them for sure because they're outsiders. They got the job done last night. And Jeff Horn, this Jeff Horn factor, it's everywhere. They love being outsiders.
The Jeff Horn factor.
Yeah, we love the horny factor.
Great pleasure. Welcome to the show from the New South Wales Blues camp, Aaron Woods. G'day, Woodsy.
Hey, Tony. How are you, mate?
Very, very well, thank you. Now, where have you been? Did you get to Byron? Have you been to Brunswick Heads? Because I'm heading up there later and I just need to know where the hot spots are at the moment.
Mate, we were up at the Goldie yesterday, had a good day up there with a couple of the boys on our day off, and a couple of other boys went down to Byron, so get a bit of zen, they reckon.
Well,
he's led by Piercy.
Well, what about Boyd Courtney? He's got the energy healer, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think it was his bloke they went and saw, so mate, they enjoyed a good day down there and come back nice and fresh for training today.
What about the cryo chamber, Woodsy? Have you had a crack in that thing?
Yeah, it's a bit cold, eh, Hoops, mate? It's we go in at morning and night. It's probably better to get it up here when there's a bit of sun around. In Sydney, it was too cold.
How is the feeling, then, apart from obviously spending some good time together, getting back to that camp, which have good memories from the game one in this series? Has it been kind of a good vibe for you?
Yeah, it's been really good up here. The weather's been 25 degrees every day and nice and sunny. So it's something that the boys have really enjoyed. And like you said, we got up here on the Monday. We had a good feed at a pub down in Brunswick Heads. It was a good place we got to enjoy, and we've been working real hard at training. Everyone's been real positive, and it's just a great place to come up here at Kings Cliffs.
And Woodsy, how's the coach been at training? I spoke to him yesterday. He was out having a bit of a punt and a beer, and he seemed very relaxed, but possibly a different attitude at training. Has he been switched on this week and ready and firing your boys up?
You must have gotten to him a bit early, Gal, because your tips were awful. But, mate, he's going well. You know what Loz is like. He's nice and calm. When we're on the field, it's all action. But once we get off, completely get away. And you know, we've worked hard on a few things that were disappointed in game two that we didn't do well, and that's something that we've worked real hard on all week.
And what about your, you know, without going into a game plan, but me personally, I feel you boys have an advantage through the forwards. Is it something you're going to look to do more, go through the middle a little bit more?
Yeah, definitely, big man. You know, like we've had some good success going through the middle, but, you know, I thought our discipline was pretty bad in that second game in the last 30 minutes. So, like you said, we really want to go through the middle, and, you know, we've got blokes like Fafita, Clemmer, the big boppers that just keep turning up all day. So we're just going to work hard on that and just can't give away those soft penalties when, you know, Queensland are coming out of their own end to sort of piggyback them up the field.
You touched on Queensland momentarily just there, Woodsy. Where are they dangerous? Where are they most dangerous, the Maroons?
Mate, they're dangerous all over the park. They've got an all-Melbourne spine, so they know each other's games ins and outs. So we're going to have to be really aware of that. You know, a bloke like Billy Slater, he came back in game two and sort of, you know, gives you a bit more worries than other players they probably had there, you know, because Cameron Smith and Cooper Cronk work really well with them. You know, Munster's first game, he's a very strong kid and he's got a lot of confidence. And having Michael Morgan in the centre is such a powerful runner. So they got strike weapon all over the field, Hoops.
He's a good footy player, Cameron Munster, but will he be, in terms of people running at him, I guess he will be a channel you'll try early?
Yeah, why not? We've got two of the biggest humans on our edge, and Frizzell and Boydie Cordner. So hope your shoulders are wind up because the big boys are coming at him probably.
How are they travelling, mate? How's Tyson travelling and how's Boyd going? And you reckon they'll both play?
Yeah, Tyson's done every training session this week. We did a little bit of contact today and he got through nice and fine. Boydie, I think, was his first session on the field today and, mate, he just ran perfect. You know, he's one of the toughest blokes I've ever met. So, mate, so far, you know, I'm pretty sure they're playing 100%. So I just hope they pulls up well after today's training. We've got a big post-sesh tomorrow, then we sort of knuckle things down and get the preparations almost a game for Wednesday.
Mitchell Pearce used the description that in the first half of game two, New South Wales were the ones doing the hunting and that changed in the second half. Is that something that you've taken on board?
Yeah, we sort of, you know, in game two, in that second half, we sort of, it was like we were up on the scoreboard, but it was like we were chasing points. You know, we weren't playing the footy that we did so well in the first game and in the first half of game two. So, you know, we just got to go back to that. And like I think like when Gow said before, we just got to play through the middle and, you know, the halves will play off the back of that. So we just got to stick that the whole 80 minutes. And if we can do that for the 80 minutes, it'll go a long way to winning.
Speaking of your other halfback, your 5'8", I've had a wonderful week being away from him. How is he up there? Has anyone want to punch him yet?
Yeah, I mean, one camp's enough. This is the first one.
I'm hearing you. 1 year's enough. Oh. We won the comp.
Mate, it's just relentless. It never stops. It's like a croaky little voice you always hear in the back of your head.
I know exactly what you mean.
Mate, you know, there's another bloke that's just on par with him. Nathan Peach is awful as well.
Oh, really?
Wow. Shocking.
I love it.
Two of them.
I love it. Hey, are you going to do the same method as in game one in terms of getting into Queensland, waiting till the very last moments? You don't have to hear people yelling, Queenslander, at you.
Yeah, so I don't hear any gooses running around yelling that crap out. So, look, I think we're going to go up. We've got a captain's run at Seabus up at Gold Coast on the Tuesday morning, and then we drive up to the Sofitel. So, yeah, it's good preparations, you know. It's a lot of old people where we're at Kingscliff, so we enjoy their company. We're going to head down to the pub probably later on and have a couple of bets and enjoy the arvo.
What's the old people? Play a bit of croquet, maybe? Some cards? Some canasta. 500? Canasta?
Well, they're having a couple of John Deere's while we're watching.
Aaron Woods, it's always great to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of the camp and go well game three.
Cheers, boys. Thanks for having us.
I'll tell you where Queensland are dangerous. You asked a question where Queensland are dangerous. You said all over the park. I think it was proven game two where they're dangerous, and that's from set starts. If you give them cheap penalties out of their end, it's the same as when you play in Melbourne. They are so clinical from set starts because they know exactly what point they want to get to. They know exactly what game they want to play. Whereas if you just go set for set with them, as you saw in game one, Cooper Cronk and Cameron Smith are a lot less devastating. If you give them the set starts, that they can control a game anywhere. But as I said, they've got to go back to that game one mentality where they just trade set for set, go through the middle, spread it wide when they need to. And I was very confident they'll win 3-0, to be honest. But I think if they can do that, limit the set starts they get, particularly in their end, I think they can win.
I'll tell you where else I reckon they're dangerous, girl, is that right edge with Gagai and Chambers. Chambers switching over to that side after game one. I thought he did a great job containing Jared Hayne. Mm. He did a good job trying to fatigue him and then force him into errors at crucial stages. So Definitely Hayne and BMoz. They got to be on.
Gagai's been their best player.
Hasn't he?
I think he's been their best player. Yep. I thought he was, him and Oates were their best in game one. He was without doubt their best in game two, scored the winning try. He's just so good coming out of their end. And that's where New South Wales really need to limit the metres that their back three make, that they get their set started, because I just think that we've got such an advantage in the forward pack in the metres that the Queensland forwards make. They don't make a lot of metres compared to New South Wales. So if they can limit the impact that Gagai has coming out of their end, it'll go a long way to stopping their forwards doing much at all.
What was that Josh Maguire like to play against when he played against him at Origin?
Oh, he was okay. Look, I played a test match with him, so, you know, he was okay. I mean, he's Josh Maguire. We've had a running battle, myself and him, for a couple of years, but I don't know whether he's someone that the Blues will necessarily be targeting. I know he was targeting Andrew Fifita in game two, particularly his legs.
Did a pretty good job. I thought there was a couple there that could have got
Look, the first one was pretty ordinary, actually. Yeah. I thought he went, it was a cannon. It was cannon a tackle, cannon yeah. without a doubt. Right. He never got side of men's origin, a little bit different. But I think the key, what you mentioned, Fifita, he went at him. And I thought the difference between Fifita in game one and two was, in game one, he just ran. He worried about passing later. Fifita's first run in game two, he offloaded the ball, went about 2 metres back. His second run, he tried to be a ball player. Now, I don't know if that was a set play. I don't know if that was the system that they're playing. I don't know. But I've got no doubt when Andrew Fifita gets back and runs straight his first couple of runs, he can be the most devastating player on the field. I play them every week, so I think I'm qualified to be able to talk about it.
Yep.
And I just really, and I see him do it every week. I see how devastating he can be. I just really hope next Wednesday night, his first couple of runs, I'd love to see Queensland kick off and him get the first run off the kickoff, because when he charges that ball back his first run, I think it sets him up for a big game.
I'm getting excited. This is Saturday Triple M NRL for Brighton's Lawyers.
Paul Gallen, James Hooper, why wouldn't we? All thanks to Iveco Trucks. Have a little preview of the other game this evening. It is the Storm taking on the Eels tonight. 7:30 at Amy Park. Of course, you can hear every second of Triple M footy wherever you are. Just download the Triple M NRL app now. We saw that the Roosters got away. They had four players in Origin. They still managed to get the job done against the Bunnies. It's a Storm, one of those teams that are massively affected. This is a great opportunity in period. The Eels are already have attached themselves in the eight. Their run looks pretty good, and they get the chance. Still going to be tough, but they get a chance against a Storm side that is obviously weakened.
Yeah, it'd be tough, but I think these are the games that if it's like South Sydney last night, that they didn't come through and get the result. But if the Eels are going to be in the eight and they want to be considered a genuine premiership side, then these are the games they just have to win. They're unaffected by Origin. Obviously, with the Melbourne side, have six players out. That is a huge hole to fill. Six players out of his starting team is ridiculous. I mean, we've had two games without five players of our starting side is really, really tough. Throwing an extra player there. So, I mean, they have to win this game. This is a game that the Eels have to win. In saying that, the Melbourne Storm is so well drilled right from their under-20s to their first grade. They all run the same plays. They know exactly what's going on. And as I said earlier, when some big guns are out, a lot of your players are around their lift. And I think you will see that tonight. I think it'll be a close game. Most Melbourne games are pretty close. But at the end of the day, if Parramatta want to be there in that top eight and be considered a genuine team, they need to win.
There's a great story today on Slade Griffin, who, of course, is filling in for Cam Smith. Right. Doesn't get the opportunity very often to run out. And just, you know, the stuff that he has been learning from watching Cam Smith operate, not just when he plays on game day, but throughout the week in preparation. Much like Freddie Fittler said in the City side when you went in there as an older head around young guys. It's great to read that story, somebody like that. And that's what these games are about.
Oh, for sure. Look, Gal touched on it a second ago that, you know, often when you're missing a lot of good players, your best players, well, the other players lift. And you look at the Melbourne Storm forward pack, it's still a damn good forward pack. Jesse Bromwich is an international. Nelson Asofa-Solomon is one of the best young forwards in the game. Felis Kaufusi's had a breakout season. Torhu Harris is an international. And Dale Finucane's been mentioned as, you know, probably playing State of Origin down the track.
Also.
Yeah, that's right.
He's played for country for a couple of years.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a damn good side. And then, Tone, the young players, Brady Croft, we've all seen what he can do. He would have learned a lot out of that very narrow loss to the Roosters a couple of weeks back when he last had his opportunity. So he'll want to make a big impression again. And there's big raps on that fullback, Jerome Hughes. I actually think the Storm, it's going to be tight. I reckon Melbourne might be able to get an upset. Yeah.
That's great, mate. Riley Jacks, which sounds like a nightclub. Saturday afternoon, what a great pleasure to have Paul Gallen with me alongside James Hooper. This is the best of the best, just three of the best in a certain category. Now, and you may have noticed that Wendell Saylor has had to head off. He did leave this piece of paper, Gal, before he left. The notion was, given that Wednesday is the State of Origin decider, was the best over all those years of wonderful entertainment with State of Origin, the best
deciding games, the best game three that decided the series. And Wendell's left me with this. I'm not sure whether you all agree with what he's gone with. First, so you can play a little bit of it. You know, you say the name Mal Meninga, you say the name Wally Lewis. It's pretty big. So let's go to 1991 for the final moment.
Yes, it was. Bobby Linder now comes out to Jackson. Jackson threw one hand, balls and over the leg up. They're losing ground. Now they can get it out through Hoff. He gets it back to Meninga. Meninga standing there like a colossus. Gets away to Linger. A long flat out for Shearer. Shearer heading for the line. Yes, Shearer's there. Unbelievable football. Can you believe the state of origin? One side scores and the other one comes back. Nobody's got one over. Mind you, O'Connor's had pretty good chances. Meninga lines up. He's around about 4 metres in, 5 metres in for touch, just out on the junction line. 12 or 23 metres out. There it goes. It looks okay from where I'm sitting. Oh, yes, he's got it. The big fella's done it. Well, Queensland after trailing for so long have hit the front 14-12.
Mal Meninga with a set of thighs the side of small cars, just toe-poking that thing over. 14-12 was a winning score in Wally Lewis's last game. It's hard to argue with that one.
I don't like it. Doesn't matter. No. Are we going through any more, or can we just, is this all about Queensland?
No, well, I'll give you one more. Look, as I said, it was just handed the sheet of paper from Wendell Saylor before I go. Why don't we go to 2012, something of more current vintage. I think this may have been, I was in the
I'm pretty sure this was a game with the Shepherd, wasn't it?
Yeah, this is.
And game one, Greg English dropped the ball over the try line, yeah.
Yeah, I think this is one with Cooper Cronk's famous field goal.
One good search here just might get them in range, although it's a slow play, the ball.
Slowly, and Shillington is the next carrier. So they're on the last tackle, and Cooper's gone for a long range goal. Oh, it's got plenty of distance. My goodness gracious me, what a kick! What a kick from Cooper Cronk.
Well, in past years, they'd be looking for Darren Lockyer to take control and come up with something. But Cooper Cronk has just come up with, if Todd Carney, a career goal from the sideline, it's a career drop kick from Cooper Cronk. Started his career in Origin off the bench. This year, steps into the main role.
I remember that one went straight underneath my armpit.
Did it really?
Yeah, I remember it. But anyway, look at that. That's crap. Once again, all about Queensland. Origin's not all about Queensland.
Okay.
There's two teams out there, and I can't believe our media buys into it. I mean, we only got to have a look at the last 10 years, the way that the Courier Mail have treated myself, Mitchell Pearce, the whole New South Wales side.
Mm-hmm.
The Daily Telegraph has one crack at Tim Glasby a few weeks ago, and we've got New South Wales players apologising. And not only players, media. It's not all about Queensland. Well, I know they've been pretty successful over the years, but how about Andrew Johns' comeback where he single-handedly tore them apart?
Now, that was great, but it wasn't a close finish.
Yeah,
wasn't
who cares? They smashed him. How about game two in 2014 with the greatest team ever, this Queensland team?
Yeah.
And we managed to beat them, hold them out at the end. Jonathan Thurston, Billy Slater carrying on, and we beat them. How about some of that, New South Wales?
Keep going. I'm loving it.
Oh, that's about all I can remember the past 10 years. That's about all there is. Hey, but hey, you won one series, you won 10. That's what I think.
Thank you so much, Paul.
We'll change
Garland
on Wednesday night.
Thanks, Hoops. Thank you, everybody. Get along. Watch that game. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Triple M rocks the NRL. The Brighton Lawyers. Protecting your future.